Amen. Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the fourth month. It's the 24th day, and it's the year 2016. And it's the fourth Lord's Day after the resurrection. Today's lecture is titled, Birth Pains, Breastfeeding, Childcare, and Obedience to Husbands. The first thing we're going to talk about is how women are all under a curse today because they're trying to avoid birth pains. If anybody read the scripture, they should know that's one of the curses God put down upon mankind because of the original sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, and Eve, who was the one who first sinned, and Adam followed her, God said, one of your penalties, one of your punishments to Eve is that you shall now bring forth children in pain. Now, we read about this in Genesis chapter 3, verses 13 and 16, I'm going to be quoting. And the Lord God said to the woman, why hast thou done this? And she answered, the serpent deceived me, and I did eat. That was the original sin that mankind committed. Then Adam followed her. And now here's one of the curses that come upon women because of this. And this is verse 16. And to the woman, he said, God said, I will greatly multiply thy pains and thy groanings. In pain thou shalt bring forth children. This was God's punishment. Now they're trying to escape this punishment by taking pain pills, or they're getting numbed up on when they're giving birth. They don't want to have pain anymore. They do not bring forth children in pain, which is the natural way God wanted it to be. You'll survive. You're not going to die. You know. And now the only time you can actually take something to relieve pain or to numb it is if the woman's in danger of death, the mother, or the child is in danger of death. Then you could go in there and you can do some surgical procedures, or you can give some type of pain killers, only if the woman's in danger of death or the child. If not, you commit sin by taking away that pain that you're supposed to have. So you can't take painkillers, anything to numb you up like Novocaine. People used to give birth to women in their homes with midwives. They would come in, and it was a real simple procedure, and you would give birth. And she'd have pain for a while, and then all of a sudden, the child is born. And then the pain ends. That's what God demands. And now, on top of it, you got to go into the hospital and spend all this money. You know how much they're saying that they have? It costs to be born and it costs to die. That's not true. It shouldn't be that way. It should cost you nothing to be born and nothing to be buried. Like as we proved by Monk Lewis, when we buried our brother Monk Lewis over here, it costs us nothing, virtually nothing. And it shouldn't cost you nothing to be born either. You should be born by midwives. You can do it in your own home. You don't got to go through all these medical procedures in the hospital. But my main point on this is women are trying to escape the curse God put down upon them. That's part of your punishment you must endure. And so when you don't endure that pain and you take a painkiller, you get numbed up and you don't need it and all that, you're cursed. You're cursed. It's almost like a heresy. It's a grievous mortal sin. So you're starting off, your child is being born in a very bad way. You're being cursed and you commit a mortal sin when you're doing that. We read from the commentary on Genesis 3:16, a Catholic commentary. The multifarious sorrows of childbearing must remind all mothers, except of the Blessed Virgin Mary, of what they have incurred by original sin. If that had not taken place, they would have conceived without concupiscence and brought forth without sorrow. St. Augustine teaches this. So it's a great mortal sin. It's almost like a heresy even when you're trying to escape. Women are trying to escape pain in childbirth. Pain is a good way to it. When you do penance, you bring pain upon yourself a little bit, just enough pain so you can do penance for your sins. But this is a particular individual curse that God put down and says, you are going to give, and mankind is saying, oh yeah, God, no, we're not. We're going to numb ourselves up so we have no pain during childbirth. So it's really, you're starting off the birth of this child with a giant curse. And I have no doubt that the child himself is cursed because of this also. We read too about how women are saved by childbirth. This is in 1 Timothy 2, 13 to 15. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not seduced, but the woman being seduced was in transgression. Yet shall she be saved through childbearing if she continue in faith and love and sanctification and sobriety. That's another topic, really, about how women today don't even want to have kids. That's why you have abortions all over the place. They got abortions or murdering their own kids, despising the fruit of their own womb. And our Lord says that's how the woman is saved, by childbirth. The main role of woman in life is to be a mother, to get married, to be a mother, and to bring forth children and to take care of the home, take care of her husband, and obey her husband. That's her duty. Now, if a woman gets married and she's barren and she can't bring forth children, then that's not her fault. If she wants to be a virgin in the service of God, she brings forth spiritual children. A virgin brings forth spiritual children. So she's still bearing children, but spiritual children. Her job then is to be out there and spread the Catholic faith and help to teach other people the Word of God and to have spiritual children. But a woman has to always have that motherly instinct. It's gone now in the world today. Completely annihilated. The motherly instinct is gone. They hate and despise the fruit of their own womb. That's why you're seeing all these abortions. They don't even want them to be born. Now, another thing the woman is shirking in her duty that God has given her, he's given women breasts for a purpose. I think they forgot what the purpose God gave them breasts for. Well, we're reminded of it. You can be reminded of it by looking at nature, right? We have a pet cat on our property out here called Charcoal. It's a nice cat. Goes out, catches mice and everything. It's a nice cat. It's one of our pet cats, Charcoal. She just gave birth to 6 kittens. And we went out there and we were looking at it, and all those 6 kittens are on her breast. Mm-hmm. And she's laying there all happy, nursing her children. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, and you see how she licks them and she takes care of them, right? That's what breasts are for, right? And I'm saying, look, at this cat is more faithful than these bitches that are running around and giving birth and giving her kid bottles instead of breast. Well, what did God really give you the breast for? There's milk in there for a purpose. It's free. It's pure. It's got to be the best because God gave it. Instead, you want to go and give a bottle so you can avoid your duty of having to breastfeed. You can give it to a maid. You can give it to your husband. Probably the husband nowadays changes all the diapers and does all the bottle feeding. They're escaping their duty as a mother. And every woman that has milk in her breast and doesn't milk her child commits a mortal sin against God. It's almost like a heresy again. That's natural law. The kitten knows it. And I'm looking at that kitten, and she's very happy. She's looking at her kids, taking care of it. This is what makes the woman happy, you know? And God gave you this milk freely. And now science comes along, and they even try to tell you scientifically some horse crap that it's, you know what, it's even better to give them the bottle. We throw vitamins in there. You mean to tell me God didn't put the milk in the breast the best possible way? Before you had all modern science and bottles, back in the Old Testament era, and even not too long ago, that's all they did was breastfeed. Now, if a woman has a dry breast, you can give the child up to a maid, another woman, who could nurse it through the breast. But that's what your breasts are supposed to be used for. But instead, what are breasts being used for today? Lust. Something that God never intended them to be used for. They're used for lust. They showed them off in front of people to incite lust in people with low-cut dresses. Sometimes they're not walking around bare-breasted and all that. And are using their breasts for lust. So they're under a curse. And so what has God done to these women? To curse, to prove that this is just one curse that God put upon them. All right? Breast cancer. The women are panicky about it. Women today now believe they're superwoman. They want to live forever. They want to be above not just men. They want to be above God. And they want to live forever. It's the Amazonian dream. It's the promise Satan gave to Eve, to women. I'm going to make you all powerful, all knowing, just like God, so you can live forever. So the breast cancer thing, they can't get away from it. They hate it. They're cursing God because of it. They don't like it. They don't want to have the breast cancer. So the biggest thing you hear today is on all the different, they have it even in the NFL now, breast cancer month, breast cancer month. They're all wearing pink. What about men or any type of cancer, not just breast cancer, prostate cancer, which men are cursed with. That's another curse. We can wear a sermon on that maybe. But what about any other disease? But it's the woman and she's smiting God. She's angry and God cursed your breast with cancer and with this plague because you're not using your breast the way you're supposed to. You're not giving your children the milk from your breast. Instead, you're using your breasts for lust. And like I said, if a woman wants to learn how to dress modestly, she could look at our modest rules that we have. You're not supposed to show any cleavage at all of your breast. No cleavage. You show cleavage, you're already committing sin. In a Catholic country, we catch you showing cleavage. We punish you maybe with 3 months in prison and we whip you on the back, 40 lashes. We catch you a second time, I cut your breasts off. I cut them off. I'm chopping it off, man. I'm going to chop it off. You ain't going to be able to show it no more. You're not going to be able to show it you don't have. I chop it off and cauterize it. I said, now go ahead and show that off because that's what I would do. And I guarantee you, watch how fast in modesty ends. It proves it in these Muslim countries because that's what they punish some people severely when they do stuff like this. First time you give them maybe a 3 month thing and you whip them 40 lashes so their back is cut up, whip them pretty bad. And then the second time you tell them, if you do this again, we're going to cut your breasts off on the chopping block. I was even telling the sisters the other day before, even when these guys are committing pedophilia and as homos and stuff, I think they should be castrated. We should cut off their private parts, even men. I'm not. But this is what they're using their breasts for today, not for what God intended it to be used for. It's another curse they're under, and a horrible curse. And you're listening to modern science, which lies to you. Lies so many times do they lie to get you away from the natural things God has given you. Now, it doesn't even stop where, like, women don't want to breastfeed their kid or give him milk or anything like that. Your mothers today, your women today, they hate to cook. They hate to cook. This is so evil. It's another natural law thing that you should want to feed your children. You know, anybody who has that natural law, even my grandparents who came, one came over from Hungary, my grandmother, and even the, she was, and Italians are like that, you know. They're so happy when they're feeding you because they're nourishing you. They're taking care of you. They love to cook for you. They love to make dinner for you. That's part of the motherly job. And it makes them happy. But today, women hate to cook because they're lazy bastards. They're lazy bitches. And they don't love their kids. There's no love there whatsoever. And when they do cook, it's like with bitterness. They complain. They bitch. They moan. I had a slave over here all day. And then, you know, when you get that happening, I don't care how good the meal is, you don't want to eat it. Because they're complaining all the time. It's one scripture that says, better a morsel with love than a feast with hatred. And you know when a woman doesn't like her job. She complains, she moans, and she brings misery around the whole household. A true natural law thing that all mothers should have is to cook for their children and be happy when they're eating. And not just for one day, but you got to do it every day. They have the old joke about what does an apostate Jewish woman make for dinner? Reservations. Because she goes out to eat all the time. So you got to watch out for that too. When you go out to eat too much and you don't want to stay home and cook, you already got a big problem. A really big problem. It's not nothing wrong going out to eat when you're in town or you're traveling. But if you make it like a real thing and you're doing it because you don't want to cook in the house, watch out. Because that you're already committing mortal sin. You're lazy. Now, even a guy when he lives alone should cook for himself. When I'm over here, I love cook. You know, after I'm done doing my morning work, I love to go in there and cook a little something up for me. The only thing that prevents me from cooking something up a little more is time. Because I got to do all things. But I love cooking. I cook for Ron. I make a little something here for Ron. Not all the time. Sometimes I have something quick. But I love even just cooking for... Remember Brother Will when we wrote there, I used to cook? It's even if your brother's in a monastery, it's that way. And you should be happy to do that. What are your women today? They don't want to cook for nothing. And if they have to cook, they bitch, they moan, they burn the food so you don't want to eat it, make it nasty. I had that happen to me. I won't mention their names, but particular women, they would go there and burn stuff and make it really bad and put it on the table and say, no, no one can eat that. And then what would the woman say? Cook it yourself then. Well, that's the point. They don't want you to go out and start cooking yourself. And a lot of them don't even know how to cook. I knew one woman that went out there and she was going to cook a meal. And we were on the beach. And she says, I got to go back and put the dinner on. I says, well, what do you got to put on? She goes, I'm putting on hot dogs. You got to put on hot dogs? It was like a turkey. I thought she was talking about a turkey. You know, you got to put it on. You got to baste it. Well, she went back there and boiled these hot dogs for about, I don't know how long. They were busted. They were exploded. I says, no one can eat this. What are you, crazy? You don't even know how to cook a hot dog? What kind of a woman are you? What kind of a person are you? You can't cook a hot dog? And the salad had grit in it and everything? They do it on purpose because they don't want to cook for you. They hate it. They hate cooking for you because they hate you. That's against the natural law even. I had this one girlfriend that when I went out with her and then she invited me to have a big dinner over to her house. She cooked this, candlelight dinner, fancy, like, most fanciest dinner you can ever have, right? So when I sat down, I says, oh, this is pretty impressive. I says, but guess what? I said, if you get married, you got to do this every day. I said, this isn't just one big time and let me impress him with this big fancy meal. I told her, you got to do this every day. And you got to do it maybe at least twice a day for breakfast too, maybe for lunch and then for dinner. And you got to do it every day. You ain't going to pull a wool over my eyes and make me think, oh, look how good I am, you know? And so she didn't like hearing that. But that's the way it is. Even another person I knew said that they were saying that his mother used to make breakfast for her husband and cook the eggs and the bacon. Do you believe that? He made her cook. Well, you want him to do it? I mean, you're the wife. You're the mother. You understand what's going on here? If a woman is like that, she goes to hell on that point alone because she doesn't want to cook for her family. And she hates when she's doing it. That'll damn you to hell for all eternity. You could be Catholic, you can have all the dogmas, you can have everything else. But if you have that one sin, that's a mortal sin and you go to hell. Because you don't want to nourish and take care of your family. You're a selfish, nasty, unnourishing bitch. And it's a horrible crime. Almost all your women are infected by it today. Or they go out and get TV dinners, real quick meals to have. They don't cook. And you're spending more money on this anyway. Or they like to go out to eat all the time. Because they don't want to cook. You can tell it when somebody doesn't like to cook. And generally, they don't like to clean dishes, neither. It's in the same category. They don't like to clean dishes. They hate it. They want to have the boys do it or someone else do it, but they don't want to clean the dishes. And they even have dishwashers now that cleans. They don't even like doing that hardly. You know, it's horrible stuff that you're facing up against here. But this is all part, again, of the feminism curse. You know, like, even when I got married, I would never marry a feminist, you know. My wife was not a feminist. You know, we had problems. Don't get me wrong, but she wasn't a feminist. She was Italian and she would cook, and we used to call her Mamarelle. She would cook and feed everybody. I mean, as many friends as I came over, she'd be cooking. She was happy when she was cooking. She had that natural law kind of thing, but I would never marry a feminist woman. We had other problems, but I'm not going to talk about that here. But she was not that, you know. But when you don't have that nourishing instinct of a woman, a mother, or of a wife to take care and feed your family, that is such a scourge. That you want to talk about a lack of charity, a lack of love. And that's what you got today. You know, you see it throughout. That's another curse, a sin of feminism, which if you're guilty of it, that one mortal sin will send you to hell right away. And a lot of times too, when you can tell sometimes if they have to do the dishes, they bang dishes, they move around real hard, they make noise, they complain and get out of my way. And so it's almost like, you know, like I said before, even when they forced to cook because they got to cook and they complain, don't do me no favors. I don't want to be eating your food if you're going to, I got to play with your bitchy face. But if it was my wife and my family, I'll give you I'll pop you right in the head. I'll smack you right across the face. If you're really bad, I'll give you a smack. I'll bust you. Or I'll get rid of you even if it was in my house. Sometimes you visit other people's homes and you see them doing stuff like that, you know. And they're complaining. They're making noise and all that. And when I grew up, my mother was like that. She became a real bad feminist. It wasn't as bad when I was younger, but it got worse as time went on. It was horrible. Horrible. No, so forget it, man. I'll just go out. I'll cook for myself and eat on my own. I don't want to put up with this crap, you know. Anyway, that's all part of feminism also. It just was amazing when I was looking at that cat, how it was caring for its own kids. Mm-hmm. Then I think of human mothers. They're a bunch of vicious bitches, bastards. They really hate their kids. They really do. Which brings me into the next section here about how they hate their kids. Child caring. All right, now we're going to talk about how they care for their children when they raise them up. They can't get them out of the house fast enough. The kid gets plopped out without any pain. She gives them to somebody else with the bottle instead of the breast. And then she sends them to a daycare center. As soon as the kid could. They even got the pre-K, whatever. They got all these things now, you know. Get the kid out of the house. I just want him around for an hour or two so I can show him off to people and feel like, hey, look what a great mother I am. You know, a true motherly instinct and a true fatherly instinct is, you want to always be around your children. You want to always take care of them, even though if you can't. The father's got to go out and work, and the mother's the one who's mostly in the home. She really makes the home, the mother. The father, he's got to go out and work, but even when he's working, his mind's always on his children. He always wants to be aware of how his children are being taken care of, how they're being raised. Everything in their life is controlled by the parents. Now, because they're lazy bastards, and they don't want to take care of their kids because they really despise their children because they're a bunch of lazy bitches. Even the husbands are lazy too because they're allowing it. They bring their kids off to daycare centers to strangers. God gave you this kid, this child, to raise as a mother. The worst part is the young kids they're giving off in here. It's bad at any age. We'll get into this as we go on. But this is like they're dropping off kids. Like, here's my baby, you fat bull dyke lesbian bitch. Here's my baby. And take care of him during the day, all right? All right, take care of him. I'll come back in about 6 hours. You know, and don't bother me, all right? And don't call me unless maybe he's dead or he's dying, all right? Dropping the kid off to a stranger. Could you imagine the Blessed Virgin Mary giving the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, coming in her womb and the great miracle that took place here in the incarnation? Then she has, Jesus is born, and she goes, hey, can I just, she doesn't breastfeed him. Then she goes, I want to give this kid to somebody else to take care of, okay? Thanks, Lord, but no thanks. Thanks, Lord, but no thanks. Thanks, Lord, but no thanks. You deserve to be cursed to the highest degree. And God does curse them. How does he curse them? Because the very children they raise like that despise their own parents. Give them a hard time. Persecute their own parents, rightly so, because the parents never took care of them the right way. And what happens when their parents get old? Where do they get left off? Into an old senior citizen center. Because their kids don't take care of them. Because they didn't take care of their kids. It's a vicious cycle. And you got all these old people now in these senior citizen homes, banging her head against the wall, dribbling with dribble coming out of her mouth, going da 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 da, da, you know, da, da, you know. And you got some strangers in there trying to make them happy. Hey, let's play some bingo. You know, we're going to put on a little movie today and throw a beach ball around and make you happy today, all you old people, all you old fogies, you old selfish fogies, abandoned by your own children. And then the children say, well, you abandoned me, so it's only right. It's a crazy world we live in. And you're spending a lot of money on this. You know how much money child care and seniors did? Instead of families taking care of families? When we watch that movie, Joseph, and I read the Bible, we look at the extended, his whole tribe, when they're all living together. Jacob had four wives, and his sons had wives, and they're all living together, and they're all taking care of one another, and their children, they're all helping one another. You don't need daycare centers. You don't need senior citizens' homes. It's family. The family takes care of one another because they love one another, they care for one another. Today, you don't have that no more. Yeah, and nothing at all. And what do you see today? Every time you turn on the TV, what do you see a woman doing? She's a career girl. She's out there working in the world. You'll never see her as a mother anymore. If anything, you'll see the husband over there in the house cooking and cleaning, changing diapers and having bottles. It's never family. Just look what the United States bastard and the democracies are doing. And this world is spreading this infection that women are not supposed to stay in the house and be mothers and take care of the home, is to go out there and get a job. No more raising children. No more taking care of your home. No more obedience to your husbands. And they think they're going to be happy out in this world. They're not happy. Because when they go out there, they're going to either have another woman above them who's a boss, and women hate to be bossed by women. That's like two cats fighting one another, scratching their eyes out. Or they're going to be bossed around by a man, but they're going to have to be bossed around by somebody. And they're working out there 24/7, coming home to an empty house full of coldness. That's why they're doing drugs and alcohol and everything else to try to avoid the deep void that's in their soul, the deep void that's in their heart, and they don't know why. Because you were made to be a mother, and you abandoned that duty, and now you wanted to go out in that world with strangers instead of staying home and taking care of a nice family. Even when I was young, it was the whole attitude. Parents couldn't wait to get rid of their kids. Then it was, I can't wait till I get them out of the house to go to college. Now, look, the thing is, okay, so the whole life, your kid's going to school, you're not keeping him in the house. He's going to grammar school, then he's going to high school, although he comes home a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Then the parents go, I can't wait till he gets out of high school because I can send him to college and he doesn't have to be home at all. Then I can sit down, the woman says, and eat bonbons and watch soap operas all day or whatever you want to do. Whore around because my kid's out of the house for good. And so you send them off to college, the stranger, which is even worse. Colleges with a bunch of these young kids living under one roof. Well, you got to be nuts to send your kid out like that. It's like committing spiritual suicide for your kids. So they don't want to take care of their kids. They want them out of the house. And you saw that in our neighborhood. Because see, some of the Italians from the old country that still had the ways, everything to them was to stay in the house. You know, why should my kid ever leave the house unless he gets married? Jesus stayed in the house with Joseph and Mary till he was 30 years old and went out on his public ministry. Well, where should he go? Can you imagine Jesus? First, he's got this wonderful mother, this wonderful father, this wonderful home, and an extended family, cousins and all that, and he's living with them. He says, I like to go out and get my own apartment and live on my own and away from your mother's cooking, away from your mother's care, away from the company of your loving family. It's against the natural law. But they used to goof on the Italians like that. They would call an Italian a mama boy because they want to stay home. Their mothers want them to stay in the house. The democracies push you out of the house. They break up the house. They break up the family unit. They break up that natural love and care that God made for the family. Because once that's turned upside down, everything, all hell's broken loose. There's no order. That's the basic order in society is the family. It represents heaven even. You got the father who takes the place of God. He's the head of the family. The mother, the place of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the children are your saintly children that you're having and that Catholic children that you're supposed to raise for the glory of God. So it's a hierarchy. And which brings you to the other topic about how women don't even obey their husbands anymore. They want to be equal. But you can't be equal. Someone's got to be the boss. And whenever you try to say a woman is equal to a man, the woman always takes over, not the man, because God curses you. The man thinks, how can you be equal anyway, right? And both equally run the house. It doesn't work. Can you imagine? The man says, well, this week I'm going to be the boss in the house, and next week you boss me around. It don't work that way. God doesn't let it work that way. The minute you, that's a heresy to say a woman can rule over her husband. And so God curses you. So if you say, no, we're going to try to do this thing on an equal plane, It doesn't work. God allows the woman to dominate you. That's why you see women, when they start moving into positions in banks, they're working all over the place. Men are all kicked out. It's all women. And if you get one guy that works among the 10 women, he gets henpecked. A real man cannot work amongst all women like that. It doesn't work. That's why you see women in a post office. Everywhere we go now, it's women running everything. And sometimes you'll see one guy, they get in there and he doesn't last very long. The only guy that lasts among the women is a faggot or a very effeminate man, because he's a little fairy bird and they can boss him around. They can, you know, they can goof on him. They can, you know, that's the only kind of guy that works there, you see? So they even disobey God's commandment about submissive to their own husbands. And you know why? What did Satan promise Eve? He says, I'm going to make you God. I'm going to make you better than God. You don't got to obey God. When you break God's hierarchic order and a woman says, I want to be above the man, she's really saying, I want to be above God. How could God ever let such a rebellious person into heaven when she broke the hierarchy of order, of obedience and order? And then what happens too when the woman doesn't obey the husband? The children don't obey the parents. The children don't even obey the mother. And everything's upside down. The whole hierarchy is upside down. We read in Genesis 3:16, and to the woman he said, and thy submission shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. St. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:1, let wives be subject to their husbands. And we have many other verses like that. But what you're seeing right here now is the whole hierarchy order is turned upside down. Women are not portrayed as mothers and good housewives anymore. They're presented as men. They want to turn themselves into men. That's why in the United States, when they go into these third world countries, they try to get the women out of the house and put them into school. Why does a woman need to go to extra school? She just needs the basics. The basics, just like even most of your sons only need the basics, unless they're called to some higher degree to be a lawyer or a doctor or something. You can homeschool people. Most of your kids should be homeschooled, or at best, at least schooled in a Catholic school where you have direct access to it, and you know that the nun or the priest is Catholic and they're good and they're teaching your kid the good way. But most of the sons, you should really be overjoyed to have your children in your own home. It's a heartbreak when the kids leave, even, you know, even when. You see it, like when even a daughter got married or a son got married, the parents were sad because their kid, they were going to leave the house. But they were happy, but sad. Nowadays, they can't get the kid out of the house fast enough. As soon as the woman gives birth to the kid, as soon as she could, she puts him into daycare center and that's it. And she pretends that she's a mother, right? And that's why they got all these families are turned upside down. You got divorces, you got fights, you got all kinds of discord. And the whole world's under a giant curse. And this is all being propagated by the apostate Jews and the Freemasons, whose purpose is to destroy the whole family unit and to destroy the person God created you to be so he can drag you down to hell. So let this be a warning. This is all part of the feminism, really, that we see happening today. And it's so prominent. Anybody who has eyes to see and ears to hear just has to turn the TV on, walk around in their town, and look how women are taking over everything. The Amazons are taking over. But, you know, it's an illusion. They think they're all powerful now. Hey, look how much power we got. But wait till Antichrist comes to power, because he's a man. He's a Talmudic Jew, and he's going to kill these women. Lord told me when I was converting that it's going to be the hardest time for women. They're going to have the hardest time to convert, and they're going to get some of the most severest punishments. So I'm trying to warn you feminists, or even your women that aren't feminists yet, but are borderline feminists, get back to becoming a mother, wanting to be a mother, desiring to be a good wife, take care of your husband in your home. Because a woman is a crown in her own home. She makes the whole home a loving place. She has a special talent that men don't even have. Women, they certainly do, to take care of children in a home. And when you neglect that duty, you ruin the whole core of love in your whole family. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.